Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
August 40th. You've tuned into Capital Irish on 106.1 FM. We come to you every Sunday morning from Wellington and we bring you news of Ireland, news about Ireland and anything interesting that's happening in New Zealand that in any way relates to Ireland. So thank you for tuning in and don't forget you can get us on a podcast as well. You just look up at accessradio.org.nz/Capital Irish. So tell your friends as well in Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, wherever they are, and send them on the links. It's great to be in touch with everybody. We've got a fabulous listenership in County Meath, my sister and all that. But today is a very special day. I'm very, very honoured to have a very important guest in the studio, the ambassador-designate of New Zealand to Ireland, Mr. Trevor Mallard. You're so welcome, Trevor.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel very important. And you're making me feel nervous about the interview, but it is great to be here as part of the beginning of a process of heading over to Dublin.
That's right. And because, as I think I explained to you, a lot of our diaspora listen to us. So they'll be really interested to know a bit about you. But, of course, we know a lot about you because you've had a huge career in politics here in New Zealand. 38 years, I think, was it?
Yes, it was 38 years since I was first elected. I had a three-year, we call it a sabbatical. The voters decided that I should have a break from Parliament in 1990. But first elected in 1984, and than that, 3 years, I've been there ever since.
It's a long service to your country. And, you know, like being a politician is not for sissies, just to say that.
There's bits of it that are quite hard on families.
That's right.
But, you know, the biggest thing for me was trying not to let people see when it was getting to me because it's just too easy. No, I'm not saying for political opponents. But
right, yes. And you can't show your vulnerability. You always have to stay strong in politics.
Especially when you're a man in your 60s.
But anyhow, your appointment, the most important thing that we have to talk about, I suppose, is your appointment to Ireland. And I honestly think you must have been awarded the most, dream job going.
Yeah, I must have done something really good in my previous life.
I can't think of a better job.
Yeah, no, I've sort of known about it for a couple of years now that it was going to happen.
Yes.
And every now and again, I've had to pinch myself and say, is this really true? I mean, because it's a fantastic job with a relationship between two great countries.
Ireland and New Zealand are so similar. Well, we know coming to live here that of all the countries in the world you could live in, you could never live in one that's closer in the culture and the people.
I think there's size, there's our agricultural economies, there's population, and there's a sense of relationship, I think. And maybe it's a result of, you know, some of our past. You know, we're both next to big neighbours.
That's right.
We're both islands.
Yes.
And we are. I mean, I love the place. I've been there about a dozen times.
To Ireland, have
to
you?
To Ireland.
Yes, and you really like it.
I do.
Trevor, the thing is, with Ireland now, of course, when I was growing up, it was a monocultural society. And the 50s and 60s. But now it's multicultural. Mm. And people from the first time, I think, since the famine, the population's over 5 million, which makes it vibrant young. And most of them, it's like a high percentage of those people are under 20, which makes it a great place to live.
It feels like, you know, like it's got, I was here in June. I mean, it was the first time since the pandemic that I've been there. And it does feel vibrant and happy. Yes. I mean, you know, some anxiety about similar issues to here. Yes. You know, a bit of cost of living stuff, accommodation is very tight.
That's tight,
but,
yeah.
But there's a, you know, there's a buzz about the place which is very positive. And
there is.
And you know, there's an old fashioned measure that I often use, and it has to do with the number of cranes around. Well, there's lots of cranes around an island.
That's right. Yeah. Whereas about 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen one. And then all of a sudden, with, of course, the proximity to the EU, which will be big for you now as ambassador to Ireland as well. You'll have a lot of political, interaction with the EU as well.
Yes, and Ireland has become much more important since Brexit because it is other than Malta, which I have to be careful because I'm going to be a diplomat, but it doesn't count that much.
Yes, that's right.
But it is the only English-speaking country, and therefore it's really important for us as an entry point and to talk issues through and work out the nuances of different policies. It's it's really lifted up and its importance and all that's why the post was put there. I think because people saw that, you know, that Brexit had happened or was going to happen. They'd had the referendum, so it was all going to happen.
So it'll be an interesting time for you and a busy time, but with the Ukrainian war as well.
Yes,
there's a lot of course. They're expecting that Ireland will have taken 70,000, I think, refugees by the end of the year.
And I think there were about 50,000 women there in June. And it is very obvious, and it's particularly obvious because quite often going to see grandchildren, I'll stop somewhere on the way, and leave one late one night and stop at a B&B or somewhere on the way. It was just impossible.
That's
right. It was just, there was just nothing to be got casually.
That's right. All the accommodation is gone. I've heard that in County Clare. All the hotels, little hotels in, the small Milltown Malbay and those. All the refugees are there now, which is a blessing for them. But I suppose in the summertime it will be a bit harder for people to get accommodation. You'd have to take your tent.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm pretty well looked after. There's not a bad residence. I won't have to put up a tent in St Stephen's Green.
No way. Oh, it's a beautiful place, the south County Dublin. But look, before we talk on, we might play a little song by Christy Moore, and it's a lovely song called The Voyage, and I thought it would be appropriate for you and your partner Jane to take off to this beautiful song, The Voyage.
Just before you play it, what I'm going to say is it's an incredible coincidence because my predecessor, Brad Burgess, last night was at a Christy Moore concert.
No!
At Vicar Street.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, I saw it this morning on Twitter. It was sort of part of his farewell with a few of his mates, and they went, you know, they thought, what can you do that would be great as you're leaving? Christy Moore concert.
Christy Moore. Oh, well, I know that the person who's doing our technical work today, Marion, she went to a Christy Moore concert, I think, before she came back from Ireland the last time. So I forgot to tell you that I'm Alice Paul and I'm chatting to Trevor Mallard today. And that's a real honour for me. And I've never talked to a politician, I don't think, before, so that's great. The ambassador, the Irish ambassador, was very much our friend, of course. So he would be. But listen to Christy Moore now would be a real treat.
Determined not to fail.
Welcome back after that song. I hope you loved Christy. I'm just such a big fan of Christy Moore, no matter what he sings. But The Voyage is a special tribute to Trevor Mallard, who's heading over to Ireland to be the ambassador from New Zealand to Ireland. Great job, and he'll do a great job. Trevor has been doing Parliament work and the Speaker of the House for two terms, Trevor.
For 5 years. Not quite the full two terms, for 5 years.
Yeah, and that would have given you a good good start for doing a job like ambassador. That's
right. Well, there's a lot of travel involved in Speaker, lots of delegations coming in. I think we worked out I went to sort of 19 different countries while I was Speaker, sometimes
did
only
you?
For
yeah.
a day or two. And
really, yeah.
But we've taken the tours away, and you know, obviously you have to get across the various issues, the various diplomatic and political issues and trade issues. So it has been quite a good sort of general education.
But yes.
Obviously to go to Ireland, you've got to get quite a lot deeper into these issues. And I'm doing a lot of reading at the moment and enjoying it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you've had such good luck working with Jacinta Ardern as well. I mean, everybody in Ireland will know the All Blacks, but they'll also know Jacinta.
Yep. It is.
So my whole family are so envious of us to have such an amazing woman leading our country.
Yeah. Well, that was certainly the impression I got when I was over there in June. It was, that they. As it is in quite a few countries, actually. I've got to be careful speaking diplomatically, but there are quite a few offers to swap leaders.
That's right.
And you know, I mean, I'm, I obviously know her well, worked with her for a long time, and regard her as a friend. And she's a, you know, she's a really lovely woman. And it's what you, it's what you see, what you get. And it's not often the case with politicians. And and when the sort of kind and caring like her, and that is her. It's fantastic.
And that does come. People are not fooled.
No,
they know she's genuine like that. So, wow, a privilege as well working with her over the years. And now when you go to Dublin, you'll be living in Dublin, but you'll be hopping up and down to Galway quite a lot because there's family there.
Yes, I've got three grandchildren down there, and I'm, you know, I've seen quite a lot of them. I've, you know, been to Ireland about a dozen times in the past 20 years, but trying, you know, other than the last couple of years, I've tried to get there, you know, each year for a week or two and to get to know them.
Yes.
And in fact, they were very nearly stuck in New Zealand with the pandemic. They were out here for about 6 weeks and left at the end of January in 2020, just before the... I often think it would have been great if they actually... if they forced to stay and stuck here.
I know.
But so there's good bonding, but yes. I think that...
So how old are they?
They're 13, 11 and 6.
Right, and they're going to school there in Galway,
yes.
So they'll be fluent with their Irish as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So they'll be able to teach you of it.
Well, that's exactly what they're telling me. They're going to, I've got a terrible ear for any sort of language. My children did some bilingual education, and they're my worst critics in Māori. I'm sure my grandchildren will be able to sort me out with Irish, with Gaelic.
Yeah, and of course it's very like the resurgence of Māori here as well, of Te Reo. It's beautiful. Everybody tries to throw in a couple of words.
Yes.
And
when you hear it coming out of the, you know, the mouths of the six-year-olds. It's fantastic.
And their songs as well. Yes. They'll be singers, I suppose, aren't they?
I think at least one of them sort of has the mallard voice, which is not that flash.
I was looking, have you any Irish ancestry at all?
I don't. I'm the only one in our family. My former wife was, her family was entirely Irish.
Oh, okay.
So all my children, all my grandchildren are citizens.
Really?
But I'm not. So that's
sort of... you'll have a diplomatic passport, so that
doesn't
matter.
There won't be any problem coming.
No problem. Getting a visa.
Coming and going. I think I'll be all right.
I was going to talk to you about New Zealanders in Ireland. You know, I have no idea how many. I did try and look it up, and there's nothing on record. But I know when my husband was on his OE, which was in the early 1980s, and he moved there in 1985, there were no New Zealanders, and they used to call him the Aussie.
Right.
And New Zealand didn't feature. And there was one day he was coming home from work and he saw another van, you know, one of the Volkswagen vans, with Wellington or Auckland or something on the back. And he chased it all the way to South County Dublin, thinking, I found another New Zealander. But the person disappeared. And later on we found who it was. And it actually was a man from Lower Hutt that he possibly, well, he would have known a friend of her. But now you wouldn't have to chase after anybody.
No.
A lot of New Zealanders.
No, there are a lot of Kiwis in Dublin. There are a lot of Kiwis in Galway. In fact, you know, the restaurant, which is Kai Galway, is sort of the restaurant cafe. It's absolutely fantastic, and it's really lifted New Zealand's profile down there.
It has.
But the IT industry, banking industry, lots and lots of areas where Kiwis are working. And you know, I was meeting people up there who have been there for 30 years.
That's right.
They're well ingrained in the society.
And of course, a lot of rugby players go over there for a wee while, and you're a great rugby
I'm
man.
Very much a rugby fan, and my daughter, there's another daughter who's now back in New Zealand, she was a rugby player and played in Galway as well.
Oh, so, did she play in Galway as
well?
Yes. She was a Black Fern.
Yes, yeah, she was a Black Fern, but she both played and coached. I think she had an under 16 team there.
Did she?
For a while. So, and I've got several friends who are now pretty settled there who went there to play rugby.
Well, I mean, that's, as you said about English speaking as well, it makes it a wee bit easier for that transition.
It does.
And, of course, Ireland being such a good rugby team and beating the All Blacks so many times.
Hang on. I thought you were going to be diplomatic to me. I've got my ticket, you know, on my lanyard from the final test where we lost at Wellington. So I thought I'd take it over there and
friends with everybody.
I thought I could probably give it to a to a kids rugby team to raffle or do something
it's
like
such
that.
Such a good idea.
Because I think it'd be something which is valued more over there than over here.
I know. And you've probably been asked a million times, what happened in 1987 down in Limerick?
We get sort of asked all the time.
I know. Munster love that, but yes, they love asking. Do you know what happened?
Well,
they always ask that as if in 1978.
Yeah.
And my goodness, the whole country was rejoicing. It's the best thing that ever happened.
Yes. Well, you might say that.
And then they wrote a play about it.
Yeah. But I think what's happening now is that rugby's a lot more even than it has been in the past.
Yeah.
And teams will beat each other. And
it makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Because if it's always predictable, if you know what the result is before it starts, then there's not much point, really, is it?
That's right, yeah. I love it when there's a bit of competition, and it gets very boring when the All Blacks used to win all the time.
Yes, well, I just hope that we can sort of reverse things a bit. I think we're likely to meet Ireland maybe in the quarterfinals in the World Cup, so
it'll be marvellous. Yeah, but I was also wondering about your experiences in Ireland, especially in Galway with the little pubs and that. So, like, when you think about going to Ireland, I mean, so much, I suppose, responsibility, and it will be quite a tough job because there's no such thing as a free lunch, but you have all these lovely things that you can look forward to.
And I'm very much looking forward to it. And you sort of, half the time you think you can sort of get away from, from New Zealand, you get in the corner of a pub But you can't always, because the way the population is, right, and the way people travel. Jane and I we went to the Aran Islands and it was in January.
Right.
Like, we've been there about three times, but went over there in January. Just wanted to spend a couple of days and sort of rode a bike around.
Yeah.
And it was right off season, and even the pub was closed.
Oh my God!
Unusual. Yeah, which was big. But we're up the far end of the island, ridden our bikes. Cafe opened up there. Two other customers, Ashburton.
Oh no! What are you doing here, Trevor Mallard? They would have said.
That's exactly that. Well, in fact, it was worse than that. And said, I was a teacher at a school you closed, she said.
Oh, no, that's
so
worse.
She was right. She was fine about it. It just shows what a small world it is.
It really is.
But Joan and I both love, just going into most pubs, actually. It seems to sort of happen sort of.
It's a community thing, I think, in Ireland, the pub. You see, there's no, like, if you went into a pub here, you would be hard pushed to find 80 or 90 year olds. Well, in Ireland, that's normal.
Yep.
I mean, they go to the pub. And I know there's a little pub where my sister lives near Rathkenny in County Meath. And I brought a New Zealand friend with me. She hadn't been to Ireland before. And we went down to the pub, and it was 10 o'clock at night. And about half 10, about five or six older women walked in. And they would have been between 80 and 90 because, anyhow, she said, my goodness. And then they all ordered whiskey, and they had been to a rosary meeting. That's why they were so late coming in. It was brilliant.
Oh, that's just,
and it was just beautiful. And it's just how it is.
Yeah. And the music in the pubs is fantastic. I mean, right opposite the embassy at St. Stephen's Green is O'Donoghue's.
Where the embassy is?
Yeah, yes.
Oh,
it's a relatively small embassy, I think, on the third floor.
Opposite O'Donoghue's.
But what a situation.
I know. You'll see all the characters going in there and hear all the great music.
Yes, that's right.
That's brilliant. I'm just so envious of you. I can't. But we are going back next year, so that's good.
Oh, well, you'll have to come and see the embassy.
We'll have to call to the embassy for sure. And just trying to think of other things that went through my mind about, you know, you're going there, obviously, with the EU and the cheese and the different names that they're trying to take away from the cheese from New Zealand and all sorts of little things. Yeah. How much political have you got, or you just have to be diplomatic all the time?
Well, I think now the deal has been done, the key thing is that it's got to go both through a majority of the governments in Europe, so that includes the Irish government.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's got to go through the European Parliament, which is not quite as predictable, but needs a majority of both.
Mm.
And, you know, part of my job will be just to sort of shepherd it. We don't think there'll be any issues, but if there are any issues as it goes through, then to work on that and work on it as a team.
So you'll be in Brussels quite a bit too?
Not a lot. We've got other people in Brussels. And then the big part of the job will be working with, you know, New Zealand firms and Irish firms to take advantage of it.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, if people think about the difference in trade with China as a result of that free trade agreement, then, you know, there's no doubt that there will be opportunities for New Zealand and for Ireland to really build on the trade.
Yes, and then you're right in the face of it, which is brilliant.
Yes.
With somebody there really barracking for us.
And also barracking for Ireland, because, I mean, one of the things that's become clear to me is that for New Zealand companies, if you're thinking of going offshore, well, Ireland, Dublin in particular, is a very good place to go because you've got Ireland, but then you're so close to the United Kingdom, you're so close to Eastern Europe, and there's a number of New Zealand companies now working back into the east coast of the United States out of Dublin. And it's just a big opportunity.
Yes, and it's just great. Well, look at this is terrible, but we've come to the end of our time of chatting, and Marion is putting up intro to the last song. We were going to play another song, but we might have to just tune out on that. Trevor, it's just been really fantastic having you in the studio, and it's a really lovely for the Irish community that you took the time to do that for us. We really appreciate that.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honour to be here. Thank you very much, Alice.
And
it's
when you come back for on holiday, we might get you in to just let you see what the real Ireland is like.
That sounds like a really, it doesn't sound like a holiday, but it sounds like a good idea.
A plan. So to all our listeners, thanks again for tuning in. I'm Alice Paul, and I'll be with you again in another few weeks. Slána gcaisbeannacht.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That programme is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks, New Zealand On Air, for funding accessmedia.nz.